Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm Linda Roth, the founder of LJR Consulting Services, and this is the Hidden Profits Teleseminar, where we introduce you to new options to reduce costs, improve efficiency, and ultimately improve your profitability. LJR Consulting Services has been helping clients for over 15 years unlock hidden profitability by improving efficiency and implementing new technology and business processes to reduce costs. My guest today is Mohammed Nohu, founder of MSN Associates. Mohammed, would you like to give us a little bit of your background and a little bit about MSN Associates, please?
Yes, Linda, and thank you for inviting me today. My background is as a CFO consultant, and I have been working in finance teams as a CFO, a controller and a CFO. Worked in large and medium-sized multinational companies, both here and overseas. And I get involved in good enterprise governments and governance, and also to balance conformance and performance issues. I help companies improve their profitability, look at their business processes, and basically instill good accounting and financial discipline into companies' working practices. So that's my background, Linda.
Well, great. So we're glad to have you with us here today. And what we're going to talk about today is banks and a lot of how their new technology can help businesses, both large and small, to reduce some of their manual processes, improve their efficiency, and also improve security. Because in recent years, banks have beefed up a lot of their electronic banking. It's come a long way. It's no longer just going to the Internet to look at your banking transactions. Services have greatly expanded to support companies in reducing time and effort of traditional banking tasks. Many of these services are free or very low cost. So Mohammed and I are going to discuss these today and how these different banking services can change many traditional company functions, reduce timely and manual intensive operations, and improve controls and cash flow. We both work with companies to help them reduce their cost structure and create new habits. So let's go ahead and get started. So Mohammed, do you want to talk a little bit about your business philosophies and how that relates to what we have going on in the banks today?
Yes, Linda, the business philosophy that I practice is to understand the technology that is available outside and how it benefits small companies, particularly in their transaction processing, and work a little bit with them in their cash flow and profit management in setting up proper procedures. Now, we are talking of banking today, and the technology that is available does really benefit small to medium-sized companies, and there's a whole range of services that they can access and improve their productivity.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those services. We're going to be using a lot of terms today, so why don't you go through and mention some of those terms and give us a basic definition of them so that we'll have everybody be on the same page on things that we're going to talk about.
Okay, some of the terms are electronic banking, which really means internet banking, or the fact that you're connected to a computer and the internet and thereby accessing your banking. There are other terms like remote deposit capture, which is depositing monies without going into a bank and doing this remotely from any place that has a computer and a terminal. Electronic funds transfer, or ACH, which is make fund transfers, and bill pay, which is paying bills electronically and online. Positive pay is a term that is used to ensure that all the payments are legitimate and have been vetted before the payment takes place within the bank. So downloading information from the banking, your bank account into a computer that you have, and this is done electronically. So these are some of the terms that we'll be discussing today, Linda.
Okay, great. Thanks for that little primer there. So let's start with the billing side. Traditionally, companies go ahead and after they complete a service or finish shipping product, they'll send a paper invoice to their customers, wait for payment by check, and then deposit those checks in the bank. So using the new services, how do you see this changing?
Well, firstly, today's accounting software allows you to electronically invoice customers as opposed to sending paper invoices through the mail. Periodically, whether it's daily, weekly, or monthly, you can invoice customers through your accounting software, and the invoice attaches to your email, and you send it to your customer. You can also receive payments electronically. You can tell your customer to wire transfer monies into your bank account, which is what we call EFT payments. So that's one way of getting the billing and collection process speeded up.
So if we do that, the customer never sees any paper and we never see any paper, right?
Yeah, and he gets a remittance advice via a reply to that email or when the money is being deposited into his bank account. Both his client, his customer and the bank will send him an electronic advice that such funds have been received.
Okay. So what if I have some clients that still like writing checks? Is there a way that I can keep my people from having to do the standard batching? Lots of times what I see happens at companies, especially smaller ones, but even some large ones I've worked with will do this. They'll hold checks for days because they only want to make one trip to the bank.
Yes.
So how do we get around that?
Well, that is where the remote deposit capture technology helps, Linda. What happens is today you have a small machine that you on your table which can scan the checks which you would have otherwise deposited through batching, writing out a deposit slip, putting it in an envelope, and going down to the bank and standing in the line, going up to the teller, depositing it and getting it back. All that is eliminated when checks that come in, you have a machine on your table which scans the check, uploads it directly into your bank account, and you see it happening immediately. So there is a tremendous improvement both in time and money saved in going to the bank and in getting credit for these monies that you have received, which you would otherwise keep. So that's where I see this remote deposit capture as a major improvement at that point, Linda.
So if I understand what you're saying then, those little machines that I see the bank tellers use where they run my checks through, my people can have one of those right on their desk and run the checks through just like they're the bank teller.
Yeah, I mean, it is a basic scanner. You can have scanners of various sizes, a single check or even a multiple check scanner, depending on the volume that you run through. And it's connected through the Internet to your bank account, and you're the teller at your table.
And all I need is an Internet connection and that little scanning device, right?
Yes, that's what you need, and a relationship with your bank for this remote deposit capture.
Well, that's fabulous because, you know, whenever people go to the bank, they always end up getting waylaid doing a couple other things, so it's hours before they're back.
Yeah.
So I like that idea as a business owner. Also, one thing that you and I talked about that we would discuss is larger companies lots of times use a process or a feature from bank that's not new. Lockboxes have been around for a long time. And all of us, when we mail our own personal bills in, you can tell it's a lockbox when you mail it to American Express at a P.O. box number. And and that's a lockbox. But the banks have increased the capability of those. Traditionally, those had been sort of blind things where, you know, the person that was paying your customer mailed in the checks and it went to the lockbox, and the people in the lock at the lockbox facility, they would go ahead and enter everything, but the company didn't have any online access to it, never got to see the checks or anything. But new capabilities, electronic capabilities that the banks offered is now when the transactions are in the lockbox, first of all, the lockbox personnel have a lot of the new electronic features that we have. All the checks are scanned, and web sites are available, so the accounts receivable personnel in the larger organizations that use lockboxes now have access immediately to be able to look and see what has been applied to their accounts and be able to scan. Because one of the problems you used to have with traditional lockboxes was that the clerk that was doing the work in the bank would make the same kind of mistakes that your own clerk would make, and you'd get amounts entered in erroneously and everything else. So the newer technologies have corrected that, given web access. And then again, going back to the accounting system, the banks now produce a file that comes in and loads into your accounting system to apply all those receipts to the invoices in your accounting system. So that really helps the huge volume of transactions that larger mid-sized companies and large firms do. So we've got help for both the small company and the large company.
Absolutely.
So today, online banking is sort of getting to be a ubiquitous term that everybody knows about, and a lot of businesses use it to, look at their cash balances every day. However, what I see a lot of, and I don't know about you, Mohammed, but what I see a lot of is accounting staff downloading that into a spreadsheet and then manually putting in the transactions that are in the accounting system in order to, on a daily basis, give their employers a cash statement or a reconciled bank account every day.
Yeah.
Are there ways that this stuff can be integrated with the accounting system, that your online banking can be integrated with your accounting system so you can avoid that spreadsheet process?
Yeah, I mean, that intermediary step of creating a spreadsheet can be eliminated, Linda, by directly downloading your bank statement on a daily basis into your accounting software. The bank will show up checks that are cleared, and this can be matched with the checks that you have written so that there are no duplicate entries. And if you do this periodically, your accounting software should show up the true cash balance on a daily basis. And the spreadsheeting is not necessary. And you can summarize the accounting balances in a summary report and eliminate the intermediate spreadsheet, because the banking software can be downloaded directly into your accounting software.
So that would also enable the executives and the owners to be able to, anywhere they had access to the accounting software, right, then they could see what the balances were and what the cash position was on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they have access to the Internet and they're connected to their accounting software, that will tell them their true cash balance.
Great. And that gives value to the accounting system, too, rather than the accounting system being disconnected from the bank.
Yeah, the accounting system becomes the central repository of true financial information. And you have one place where you can go for all your financial information.
Fabulous.
That's true, yes.
Well, we've talked now about the billing side, so let's talk about the payment side of the banking relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, of course, just like I send out invoices, my vendors send me invoices on a daily basis, and I have AP clerks that enter those invoices into the accounting system, into the AP side, and, they produce checks on a scheduled basis, and then I review those checks and determine which ones are going to be sent and not sent and sign them. And that can be a tedious process. I've had some clients that the CFO spend as long as 4 hours on the day that checks are cut going through and reviewing them and signing the checks. And if you, they're doing that on a biweekly basis, that's a lot of time for a CFO or controller to be tied up doing that. So can you talk a little bit about how we can streamline that process using banking services?
Yes, Linda. The best way to do that is to understand your payment process from the beginning. If you have bills coming in before it is entered into your accounts payable software, that's the time to review the bill for its correctness, for additions, and whether it can be matched up with the services before it is put into your accounts payable.
Uh-huh.
Once you have put into your accounts payable, it's a question of knowing when to cut checks, mail them, and send them out. So that's where the major productivity improvement can happen if you adopt the bank's EFT or automatic, bill pay in your banking software as payments. And you're putting in the amounts to be paid. So essentially, you're not cutting a physical check. You're not putting it into an envelope. You're not putting a stamp on it. That alone should eliminate a good amount of direct costs. And the indirect cost is the time that is required to do this. And sometimes checks are even sent out by FedEx because they want to make sure it's overnighted. And that's an expensive process. Checks can be, payments can be made electronically by setting it up through an electronic fund transfer where the monies are deposited directly into your vendor's account, or through what they call a bill pay, where a check is cut by the bank and sent out to the vendor. In both cases, you are not involved in doing any physical paperwork. Scheduling the payments can be done online. And anybody who authorizes payments reviews this the security and the password has to be organized properly at the front end. And then that whole process, like you talked of, the four-hour thing can be very well contained or eliminated.
Okay, so if I understand what you're telling me correctly, I want to, just like my customers might pay me with an electronic deposit or electronic funds transfer, I can go ahead and pay my vendors that way.
Yes.
So I don't have to cut checks and I can save money on that side. But for those vendors that still want checks, then I can keep my people out of doing it by letting the bank pay those bills.
Yeah.
Right? I just set them up and schedule when I want to go ahead and pay them.
Yes.
Right?
The bill pay, yeah.
And so that eliminates me sitting down and or the CFO sitting down and having to go through a bunch of invoices and checks and signed checks and everything. And
yeah.
So early on, when you first started with this, you talked a little bit about the accounting system. So I not only about reviewing invoices when they come in, but I think we also want to emphasize that's where the accounting systems are good in terms of electronic purchasing and matching with invoices that come in, that part of the controlling your expenditures has to do with controlling whether the purchase is ever made up front.
Yes.
Through purchase orders and a level of approval on purchasing as opposed to approving on the back end, right?
Approving on the back end, and also there is a concern about whether these checks are being paid properly by the bank.
Uh-huh.
And what you can do is you can set up your payments in your accounting software as you were physically cutting a check, but not cut the check because the bank is doing that. The check register in your accounting system can be uploaded to the bank. And they have a system called Positive Pay, where they will be able to check these payments before it gets paid out. And if there are mismatches, they'll tell us in advance, as opposed to discovering that the wrong payments are made afterwards. So that's a nice feature that the banks have introduced called Positive Pay.
So that helps then in situations where somebody might be trying to pass a false check of mine.
Yeah, making a false payment of the businesses,
right?
Yes.
And so then what the bank says is, hey, here's a list of checks that this company produced. Here's the amount that they were produced for. And so we're not going to clear a check unless it matches one of these.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's the feature that helps increase the internal control and security level in companies, Linda.
Well, so that's a really good level of control.
Yes, it is. And the technology understands that security is an important feature that must be covered. So banks have done that.
Okay, well, I certainly do like the way they handle that. And then I also have, you know, and most businesses do, I'm sure you've seen that, it's a common thing, especially with small and mid-sized businesses today, is lots of purchases go on credit cards.
Yes.
And then those credit cards come in on expense reports, or sometimes just the credit card bills are submitted, right? And I got to go through and pay all of that and confirm what, you know, what is business and what the business is not responsible for. And it's a big, you know, sometimes that stuff can take an AP clerk a day or more to get through in terms of posting it all to the accounting system. So how can, is there a way that we can do this better, you know, with the credit cards? And that includes the travel and entertainment that all goes on credit cards, too.
Yeah. There definitely is, Linda. What I tell my clients is think of a credit card as another bank, because you're using a bank to make all your payments. So essentially you're downloading your credit cards as another bank account which has already made some payments on your behalf. So most credit cards, all credit card companies today have downloadable statements on their websites where it matches your account, chart of accounts, and your accounting software, and that can be downloaded directly into your accounting software. So there is no necessity of spreading out credit card statements on your table, laboriously entering this into your accounting software. So it's payments that we've made that can be downloaded electronically into your accounting software. And this has a tremendous saving in time, Linda.
And then are all the accounting codes on that when I download it?
You can preset the accounting codes, and the system will match the accounting codes. The credit card system will match it to the accounting codes. Anything that is not done or it is a new one, it will show up as an exception and gives you an option to put in the proper accounting code before it is input.
Oh, okay, because that's the biggest thing is getting all those accounting codes right. So
right.
What you're saying is I can set up my vendor.
Yes.
And so then when it gets downloaded, it's got the accounting codes, goes into my accounting system, and bingo, most of that's done, and then all we have to do is pay the bill. And, of course, many credit card companies today, I think almost all of them, accept electronic payments.
Yeah, you can schedule electronic payments through your bank to the credit card company, and that goes in as a payment as if you were paying another vendor.
Okay, so that really makes the use of a corporate credit card a lot easier.
Yes.
And then also, as we've talked about, some companies have gotten turned off to corporate credit cards because they hand them out and then people put personal expenditures on them, and then it's a problem getting reimbursed for the personal expenditures, and so the company then becomes liable. So some of the things the banks have done in response to that is they've created something called a P-card or procurement card, which really works like a credit card, only you get even greater levels of control. Again, the banks have provided websites that the business owner can go into, and for everybody that has a procurement card or P-card, you can list the vendors that they're allowed to shop at, so then you can keep them from, you know, buying gas if they're not allowed to buy gas, if that's not something that they should be buying, or keep them from, you know, shopping at Macy's or whatever, because you can limit the number of the vendors that they can go to. You also can set limits by vendor and by the person, and you can keep those limits low. I know even in my own experience, companies will set the limits high, or if you have American Express corporate cards, there is no limit on them. You set them high because, well, sometimes they might need to buy something, or if they travel a lot, they need the limit for travel. But by using a P card, you can, on the day that they have to buy something that's higher than what their limit, you can go into the website and reset the limit just for that day or just for that particular vendor that you know that they're buying. So it creates a better level of security and, again, control over expenditures, so that you as the business owner or the CFO or controller in a company know, or just manager of the employee knows what's being spent. You can control it on websites. So the internet and the bank setting up websites has really helped to expand the use and expand the control and security on a lot of these products that they had before but weren't really popular because, you know, you couldn't really control them that well.
Yeah. And the nice thing about all this is the feedback loop is very short, Linda, because you can do this on a daily basis, download all this information into your accounting software. And if you want to be up to date, you don't have to wait for bills to come in through the mail at month end or at any other time, and things get backed up in entering. You can download this very quickly, daily, and keep your accounting records up to date for anybody to access with these procurement cards, with the credit cards. That's what is nice also that you can do.
Right. So then as a business owner or a manager or anybody that has to control expenditures, you really end up with a lot more control and understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, and as this electronic environment keeps expanding, what I'm telling my clients is that they should really not be people dependent. They should be system dependent. People have their own ways of doing things. They have their own practices. And with the turnover of staff, sometimes this way of doing things is lost and you have to train a new person. But when you're system dependent, you know how each of your systems, the banking, the credit card, the procurement technology works, and you have already set up a procedure in your company, and that's what the procedure you will follow no matter who does it. So you can cross-train easier, turnover issues become much less of a problem for companies.
So that's another soft benefit to that type of,
yeah,
to
that's,
setting
that's
up
a,
all
that's
of these
a good benefit.
Systems and using the capabilities that the banks and the accounting software have and integrating them, because then I'm not so dependent on people, because I'm sure you've seen it and I've seen it with clients that they lose a key person,
right,
especially in accounting, and it creates chaos for, you know,
yeah,
some amount of time.
Yeah, and this is what is when you have set down your procedures properly, anybody who takes on the job follows that procedure. They don't introduce their own procedure. And these procedures are very transparent for anybody to see, so it's easy to train new people and easy to follow as well.
Yes.
So that's a good advantage. Yeah.
A great advantage. Well, as a business owner, I know that a lot of the concern is security. So, you know, I can hear it now in people's heads. Yeah, all this banking stuff is great, but what about the flip side? How am I going to be secure? How am I going to know that people can't get into my bank account and do things that they're not supposed to do, that they're not going to take money that I don't owe them, and just everything that goes along with people's concern about security vis-a-vis the internet. Can you address that a little bit?
Yes, Linda. The first thing that any business ought to do about security is have a proper and detailed conversation with their bank when they set up this internet banking. The banks are very cognizant of security concerns. So they practice various security levels, authorization levels, setting up of payments, limits per day, limits per vendor, limits per week of how much money can be spent. But you must have that conversation up front with the bank and study what security features that they have. And today a lot of banks are making customers comfortable with security features and the security needs. So essentially what you're looking at is, instead of signing a check with your physical signature, how can I transfer that into that mentality into an electronic environment? The mentality that I would look to is one person setting up the bill payment, another person authorizing this. Then I would make the detailed payments set up in my accounting software, make sure I get a printout of that. And then when the electronic payments are made, I'll get a printout of that on a daily basis and match the two, so that I know that it's like, instead of authorizing 100 checks, I've authorized one check, but it's broken down into several components. That's what I would recommend doing.
So it's really a process of, first of all, the banks, especially all of the major banks, have gone to great lengths to secure all of the processes they use,
mm-hmm.
with all of the different types of security that's available today on electronic transactions. And I won't go into a lot of technical detail.
Yeah.
But then it's also a classic setting up a system with the appropriate division of duties also,
yeah.
in the business, if I understood you correctly.
That is right, Linda.
Okay. And then we also can't forget the technical component within our own organizations, that you don't want to have an open network, an open internet line within your own company. You have to make sure that your technical team has set up properly all of the network capabilities, so that you have secure firewalls, so that the passwords and everything that are entered are not free on the internet.
Yes.
And I also, if I understand it right, those check scanning machines are on, they're on secured lines too.
Yes.
That information can't go through.
Yeah.
And also when it comes to the security issue, a lot of people don't think about the risk, inherent risk in just cutting checks too. With today's technology, it's not out of the question for people to be able to copy checks and alter those checks, which is,
mm-hmm.
of course, one of the reasons for the positive pay, in case somebody has altered the check.
That's right.
So how should we advise people, or how would you advise people to get started with this? Because I'm coming away with a lot of great ideas. How do I go ahead and get started and get them implemented, or at least get some of them implemented?
The first point of contact is to review your own accounting software and see whether it is capable of accepting electronic transactions. And today a lot of software is. The second point is to sit down with your bank and tell them that you want to adopt online banking for sending out checks, payments, and then receiving payments as well. That's the second thing that I would recommend people to do, where they have a conversation with the bank and see both depositing checks. The remote deposit capture is on the receiving side. After that has been established, go into the payment side and see how we can make payments. So it is a process where you have to study these different elements for its worth, because some people may want to have only remote deposit capture and not do payments, and that's all. But
uh-huh.
You can start where things make sense to you most, depending on your infrastructure, the number of people that you have. But main thing is you must get started.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And my experience has been that most of the banks, if you contact your relationship manager, they are more than happy to put you in touch with the people at the bank that can help you get set up with these. But you're also right, looking at the accounting system. So let's quickly, I know a lot of small businesses use QuickBooks and some of the other smaller ones. Are they capable of handling these types of processes?
Yeah, I mean, QuickBooks is very capable of handling these types of processes. And they can accept online banking. They can accept credit card transactions and electronic bill pay is possible, credit card pay is possible. So they're capable of doing that. And there are accounting software, there are online versions of it, so you can even do transactions wherever there's a wireless connection. You don't have to be in your own office to do it.
Okay, so even if the only system I have is QuickBooks,
mm-hmm.
that one works, and I can use that system.
Yes, you can.
And of course, most of the larger applications, you get into the ones that the really large companies use, they're set up to do all of this. But also, most of the mid-sized ones, newer releases, they access everything and have great web interface capabilities. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute all the lines, and we'll open it up to questions to see if anybody has any questions for you. So just a second, everybody.
Okay, Linda.
Okay, everybody, we should be able to hear you. So if anybody has any questions for Mohammed, just go right ahead and speak up.
All right, I'll speak up. This is Marcy. You just said something about you don't have to be in your office. You can do it remotely. What is it that you can do remotely? And wouldn't you have to have some little gadget with you? Or could you just do something via the Internet?
No, the Marcy, remote deposit, the depositing checks into your bank account, you must have that gadget on your table.
Okay.
Other than that, you can access your accounting software or your banking software wherever there's a wireless connection and do account inquiry, make payments as well. So that is possible.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of... QuickBooks, for example, has online version of their software. So wherever there's an internet connection, you can access QuickBooks and look at these transactions. You can post these transactions into QuickBooks and use QuickBooks to look at your bank, a true bank balance as well. So that's what I was meaning when I said wherever you are, Marcy.
And a lot of it happens automatically, right? I mean, if I'm getting electronic invoices from my vendors, that's coming into my system automatically, and my AP clerks are reviewing them.
Yeah, I mean, you have to still download it yourself into your system. It won't post directly to your system. You have that option of downloading it because of the accounting codes needs to be checked and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, but you still can do that.
And while our focus today is on banking services, we can't forget the role that the accounting system itself plays in making this an effortless and streamlined process, because the accounting system then provides the ability to do electronic workflow,
mm-hmm.
Which prevents us from having to circulate paper, because the other thing that paper played a large role in was that was the way to get it circulated around to get all the approvals you had to have and everything. So your accounting systems play large roles in streamlining the rest of the process once the interface with the bank is completed.
Absolutely.
Any other questions? I know there's people out there. Nobody has any questions. Okay, Mohammed, do you have any last thoughts or do you have any common questions that people ask you when you go in and propose these ideas?
Well, the first question people ask me is, how does all this all this help and reduce costs? There are some direct costs and indirect costs that I would like to I talk about to my clients. The direct cost is printing of checks, the postage, the mailing, that kind of stuff. The indirect costs are going to the bank, waiting. Anytime you receive a check, even when it is a weekend or after office hours, you can deposit it into your bank. You don't have to keep it with you. So there is a positive benefit there. The other questions they ask is, what about when internet connections don't work, when they break down? But this is a larger issue, and today that sort of thing really has been eliminated by the technology. That is not has any bearing on the work. So the third question I get asked is, do people have any? Do they need a lot of training to do this? But I think the banks provide a lot of the training and understanding in doing this. So the learning curve is not very steep. People can adapt to this pretty well. And when they see the improvements in their work, the quality of their work also can improve, Linda.
Well, actually, that's a good point, Mohammed, that we didn't touch on. My experience has been that the banks have tremendous training. They all offer regular online webinars on how to use their products, introductions to their products. Most of them have good help desk centers that will help walk you through everything for people first using it if they're getting problems. And they all are very helpful in getting things set up. One of our first, this is a topic we didn't cover today because we covered it a couple of months ago, but one of the other areas that we had talked about in a seminar a few months ago was banks being able to set up your payments again instead of cutting checks or even doing EFT transfers to pay your vendors via credit cards out of your payables. And the banks, that's a process that was with the banks and Visa, and they will even take your list of vendors and run it through Visa to help you identify those vendors that will be most likely to accept the credit cards as a payment instead of a check. Mm. So they're very helpful with those areas in training. And I guess finally, one last thing that we should talk about is some of the costs of the processes. Do you have any thoughts on the costs that come with these services?
That's true, Linda, and that's a good question. The cost of this you can break this down into the different services that you're asking from the bank. And usually what happens is a company has idle balances or deposit balances that they maintain with the bank. And if they ask the bank to analyze their checking account, a lot of the costs of running this on a recurring basis can be absorbed by the bank because your idle balances and the deposits that you have will cover these costs. So there is really not there really should not be a big cost incurred in that, Linda. And even a monthly fee shouldn't be very high, especially for businesses.
Right. So the banks are very happy to have our deposits, I imagine each bank has a different level based on what services you're asking for and all that, which is why you want them to analyze your checking. But then they can come up and give you an idea of what services will be no charge or low charge. And also some of them are based on transactions, like anything that you do through Visa, the bank is getting their portion of the transaction fee, so lots of that is free to you because the bank gets paid based on the number of transactions that you run through.
Yeah, and also the other good thing about remote deposit capture is you can tell the bank to give you the same day credit for the funds as opposed to waiting for it to clear and that sort of thing. Or at the worst, you can ask for next day credit of your funds.
Okay, and that's a really big thing for small businesses. Well, actually almost any business, especially in today's environment, for managing our cash flow is getting credit right away rather than the traditional 5-7 days before we can get credit for a check.
Yeah, and if you go through this whole process of the remote deposit capture, the bill pay, downloading it directly into your software, what you really have achieved then, Linda, is very tight cash flow management and accurate cash flow management up to date. That's what you have achieved.
Great, and not to mention a better relationship with your bank so that when you go to borrow money, they know more about you and they feel more comfortable with you.
Yeah, and
which
and,
in
yeah.
today's environment of credit is more important than ever.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I thank everybody for your time today, and Mohammed, I especially thank you for helping us understand all of the functions that the banks have to offer. Our next Hidden Profits teleseminar will be on Thursday, October 16th. And we've been recording this, so it'll be on our website soon. If you have any questions, you can contact me at 818-709-6583 or view our website at www.ljrconsultingservices.com. And, Mohammed, do you want to give out your contact information?
Yes, Linda, thank you. And thank you for having me on the teleseminar. My phone number is 213-784-2557. And my website is msnassociates.com.
Okay, thank you very much, and we'll talk to everybody next month. Bye.
Thank you, Linda, and all the best to you.
Thank you. Bye.
This conference is...